Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for each one has come. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit will touch our hearts and our minds, helping us, Lord, to see what you have to say to us. And I pray, O God, that as we look at your word, we will be filled not only with your Spirit, but we will be filled in such a way that people would see you in us and glorify you. Help us, O Lord, to serve you and you alone all the days of our life. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture text for today is found in Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 10. I'm going to read through 11 to get the full context of it. So if we would stand at the reading of God's holy word. Matthew chapter 21, beginning at verse 1. Now, when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied, and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them,' and immediately he will send them." This was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of by the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to in the highest." And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" So the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee." These were thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in the truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. You may be seated. As we look and we see Jesus was on the Mount of Olives, we find that in Zechariah, one of the small prophet books of the Old Testament, is prophesied of how Jesus would come in to Jerusalem as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that he would be riding on the colt of a donkey. The colt had never been ridden on. And so we find as the disciples went and got the colt and the mother, the donkey, that Jesus sat on the colt. Back in those days, we don't ride donkeys in today, or we may in the future, we don't know. But as of today, when a king came in on a donkey, he came peaceably. You see, Jesus came into Jerusalem to show he was King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but he came not as a judge, but one showing peace and love and kindness to all people, although they did not see it. If you look over if you're on the Mount of Olives and you look over Jerusalem, you can see the city in a bird's eye view. And in that bird's eye view, you can see not only the Temple Mount, but you see all of Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem is a lot larger today and extends all the way up into the Mount of Olives. But you have to use your imagination to a little bit here to realize this is 2,000 years ago, and Jerusalem was a small town or a small city at the time. And there you could look down, you go down the Mount of Olives, you can either go through the Garden of Gethsemane, or you can go straight down the Mount of Olives through the Kedron Valley, and probably more than likely he entered the Eastern Gate, which would be the closest one. But I can see Jesus standing on the Mount of Olives as he looks over Jerusalem, and you have that bird's eye view of the town, and you can even see what some of the people may be doing. And as he looks over that, and he tells his disciples to go over to the village next to them, and it doesn't say the name of the village, but would probably be a little east of them, or maybe a little south, that they would find this colt. And as they went there, they found this colt, and the owner says, "What are you doing?" They says, "The Lord has need of it." So he says, "Okay." Did the man that owned them know who was taking it? It doesn't say, and it doesn't really make any difference. We find that it was a colt that had never been ridden, and so it never tried to buck Jesus off or anything like that, because Jesus is the one that created that colt in the first place, because he created the heavens and the earth, and in it he had created all the living beings, human and animals, everything in it. He had given it to man and says, "You take care of it." And when Satan came along, Satan deceived Eve, and man ate willingly of that forbidden fruit, and therefore he sinned, and he turned the deed, if you want to call it, of earth over to Satan. And Satan says, "I am in control of the world. Therefore, I will try and do everything I can to keep God's will out, and I will do everything I can to see that evil is present." And we find that throughout the ages that it has not changed. That in the world today, that evil is still there. We have Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior because we have decided it's better to follow Christ, and we have been convicted by the Spirit of God that if we follow Christ, even in this sinful world, we can have the peace which passes all understanding. So as Jesus looked over Jerusalem, and it says he wept, and that's not in our text, but he wept over the city. And he wept, I think, quite profusely, saying, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, if you had only realized the day of your visitation, if you had only realized that the Son of God has come to you and wants to give you the peace and the forgiveness of sin, that you could have this peace. But because you have rejected the Son of God, because you have rejected the mercy and the grace of God, because your leaders has went against everything that God wants, because they are so engrossed in the physical life, and in that physical life they want to get all they can, not realizing that one day they stand before Jesus himself as judge. And Jesus wept over the city. And I can see as he walked, rode down the Mount of Olives and coming through the gate. And I would say the Eastern Gate is probably where he came in, because that would be the closest one to the Mount of Olives. And usually they went through the sheep gate where they would bring in animals and stuff for sacrifices. And as he comes in there, there's a great commotion and a great stirring of the people. And they're singing, Hosanna, the Son of David. Glory be to God. And Jesus is coming. They acknowledge him as a, not only as a prophet, many of them believed in him, and they knew he was the Son of the living God. There was many different people, probably, who knows, 20, 30,000 people in Jerusalem because of the feast that was going on. There was people that had seen Jesus do miracles. There was people from Galilee that where he had done much of his work. There was people that had seen him raise Lazarus from the dead just a few days before that. There was those people then that didn't know and that had come from other countries. Maybe they had heard. So they're saying, who is this? Why is the multitude all stirred up? And the people says, this is a prophet. But they didn't call him the Son of God. So many of them looked at him as a good teacher. And we find even today that people will say he was a good teacher. And yet, as I have said before in some of the surveys, that people profess to be Christian, and yet they deny the birth or they deny the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They do not believe that Jesus rose from the dead. Some of them call themselves Christians and they do not believe that you have to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Yet Jesus says, if you are of the world and if you are more interested in the things of the world, you are in enmity or against God the Father. Because we have what we have is spiritual and it's eternal. You see, when we leave this physical life, our body goes to the grave, our physical body, but our spirit lives on forever. Our spirit lives on to where we go, either heaven or hell. And we find that we're either punished or we are rewarded. Jesus says, I will come and give a reward to all people, whether good or bad. And we find that through here, Jesus is coming, showing he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We find shortly thereafter, as he goes back out through the Kedron Valley after the Last Supper, and as he goes into Gethsemane and he prays, and it says that he has as great drops of blood, and he prays, Lord God, if there's any other way to help and do what has to be done, would you do it? God says there's no plan B, it's only plan A. And I am giving you my beloved Son to the world because I so love the world. And if anyone believes in you, they will have eternal life. And this is the only plan. We find Jesus chose 12 disciples, and one of them even betrayed him and sent him to the cross in that sense. Yet, this is part of God's plan, and when Christ was lifted up from the earth, he drew all people unto himself, and as he stretched out his arms on the cross, he not only draws you and I, but all people to himself, and it's through the word and the name of Jesus Christ that we have eternal life. It all started way back in Genesis. We find here the triumph entry into Jerusalem only as a part of what had to take place to show Jesus was King of Kings and Lord of Lords and that people were willing and calling upon him, Hosanna, God be with us. Help us, Lord. Sending us the king that will sit on the throne of David forever, and there would be no end to his kingdom. We want that, they were saying. And we want to be free from the Roman tyranny, is what they were thinking of on the physical sense, not realizing that Christ came to save us spiritually and to give us the peace when we live in this world of sin, that he can give us the peace and he can help us walk through this life here on earth. And we realize sin will be around us until Christ returns. But we can have that personal relationship with Jesus, and we can go through life having the Spirit of God leading us and keeping us from going the way that Satan would want us to do. Paul tells us in his text, he says, the time will come when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is the Son of the living God. Even the atheists today that says that there is no God and there's nothing beyond this life has to have a faith within themselves to believe that there is nothing. And if you talk to them and you start showing them why do you believe that, they will finally, many of them will come around and say, well, maybe there's something better. As I have spoken before, one woman, her son was very sick at birth, and she prayed and she commanded God, you have promised us that when we ask that you would give it to us, and I command you to let my son live. That son lived, and today he's an atheist. He says, I want nothing to do with church. He says, church is nothing, and he says, there is nothing beyond life. Yet we find that those people are still convicted many, many times, and they will one day bow before Christ. And they will admit that Jesus is the Son of the living God, that he came in that triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And when he came in, he was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's coming again. And we're told that as we see these things happening in the world, to look up because our redemption draws near. And as our redemption draws near, we find that we are finding more and more Christ is about to return. And as he rode into Jerusalem, he was not only recorded as King of Kings, but they praised him as King of Kings. The Sadducees and the Pharisees came to Jesus and they says, make your people quit shouting Hosanna. And Jesus says, if they quit, the stones would cry out. Can you imagine that the stones would cry out, here's the Son of the living God, the one that created us in the beginning. And God had to put a curse on the world because of the sinfulness of man way back in the Garden of Eden, because sin could not live in a perfect environment, and sin will not stand. Sin will be destroyed. It will be finished. We find that the good and the love of Jesus Christ will win out in the end, as we read and study through Scripture in and of itself. We find that Jesus was trying to tell them, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you the rest you need. I'll give you the rest and the peace that you need going through this troubled world. It reminds me of a man one time that he was not a Christian man. He went to church almost every Sunday. He gave. He was quite, I don't say liberal in his giving, in helping, but he was kind. And he was also one that looked out for himself. He had a good life in his living. And about 2 weeks before he died, he got sick and he was taken to the hospital. One day he called, excuse me for my emotionalism, I guess, but he called his son. His son came up and he told his son, he says, "I had a visitor last night, and it was Jesus. Jesus told me, this is the only time you'll ever see me unless you accept me as your personal Lord and Savior." And so he did. He, in his hospital bed, asked for the forgiveness of sin. He accepted Christ. He tried to call those he knew he had wronged, and he had gotten a hold of a few of them and apologized for some of the wrong things he had done. Those he couldn't get a hold of, he prayed for, and he passed away. As we attended his funeral, and we were told these things, it was glorious to know that the man had been not only visited, but he had given his heart to the Lord in the end, maybe, if you want to call it that, just shortly before he died. But like he said, all the things I missed because I lived for myself. Jesus came into Jerusalem riding on a donkey. He came in as King of Kings. He came in as Lord of Lords. And he's coming into our Jerusalem, our hearts and our lives today. And he's saying, "Am I King of Kings to you? Am I Lord of Lords to you? Or are you saying, 'Be still, I don't want to hear what you have to say'?" He says, "If you accept me as your personal Lord and Savior, I will send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit, my God and myself, the Holy Spirit will abide with you. And as you read and study and pray, we will give you the knowledge and wisdom and understanding you need. The more you read Scripture, the more you read Scripture, the more you will find Jesus is woven from Genesis all the way through to Revelation. And Jesus is the one that all power has been given to him on heaven and on earth. And it's through Jesus and Jesus alone that we have salvation. And as we stand before him and we can see the things coming, and I've talked to a few people about some of the things in the world that is coming, we can look at our cell phones. Knowledge has increased, it tells us in Daniel. And people will run to and fro. And how we have the freedom to travel throughout the world in just a very short time today. And we can do it on Facebook. You can do it in your telephone by talking to somebody thousands of miles away as you punch, FaceTime? Or something like that on your face. They can see you and you can see them and you can talk. Now our phones are what they call 3Gs, and don't ask me about any of that because I'm not an electronic person. But they said 5Gs is the things that's going today. And they said 10Gs is what they're experimenting with. But with that, they find that the electrical waves throughout the world and throughout wherever the electronics is like that can cause many, many health problems to the people, good or bad. It can give you high blood pressure. It can give you cancer. It can even give you Alzheimer's and things like that because of all the electronic radio waves going throughout the world. Is it true? I take their word for it, that the scientists are telling us the truth. That technology increases, and it tells us knowledge will increase, and it tells us people will run to and fro. But all the running to and fro and all the knowledge that increases, if we don't know Jesus, we have nothing. Paul says, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And the time is coming, we think we can get along without it, and we find the more we try and get along without Christ in the world, the worse things get. We find those that trust in Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, even though the trials of the world may come in at them, they have the peace and tranquility of knowing that their soul is harbored and anchored in Jesus and what he did on the cross of Calvary in rising again from the dead for us. We know that Jesus is with us and that he will watch over us and keep us day by day. We know that even though we may have hard times in this world, that God has something for us. Jesus says, look, come unto me. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be there for you. Call upon me. And when things get rough, don't try and do it yourself. Call upon me and I will help you through it. If they call you before the magistrates and the judges, I will give you the words to speak. You see, Jesus made that triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and the people didn't listen. He wept because the city had had their chance, and yet they refused it, and they would have to answer for it in eternity. We find yet that God has said, Jerusalem will be my city, and in my city, this is the one and where I'm going to be. Jesus has told us that he will rule the world for that 1,000-year reign of his from Jerusalem. God has told us that the center of the world is in Jerusalem. And as we study Scripture and we see all these things, we know God's word is true, and God's word does not lie, that God will not only speak, and what he speaks, he sends out, and it will not come back void. We pray that our hearts and our minds would not only be stayed on Jesus Christ, realizing that that entry into Jerusalem was not only a miracle, but it was glorious. And the people, some of them at least, realized he was the Son of the living God. And we want to have him come into our hearts, riding into our hearts, and we would have Jesus then as our personal Lord and Savior. That through that, our sins are forgiven. And through that, we would have eternal life, regardless of what happens to us in our physical world. We find that God gives us the peace and he gives us the understanding as we trust in him above all things. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us not only to be humble, but that we would realize that you were humble as you lived here on earth. And Lord, you're exalted because your name is above every name. And it's your name and your name alone by which we are saved. Help us to live for you. Help us to do your will. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let us turn to hymn number 96.
Darkest journey to untold ages.